Well, if you remember, we're looking at the whole idea of temptation, and here's the question that we raised, is where does temptation come from and how do we deal with it? And then we raised a question is, what is temptation? We said temptation is just the pull to do wrong, and we're all tempted. We're tempted every day in every aspect. If we say we're not, we're just fooling ourselves, or we're dead. You know, one of the two. So that's number two, is temptation sin? The answer is no, but how we respond to temptation may result in victory or failure, because we're tempted. Jesus Christ was tempted on all points yet without sin. That's Hebrews chapter 4. And yet he didn't sin. So temptation, he never sinned. So temptation itself is not sin, but how we respond to it can result in sin. That's where the problem really gets into it. The third thing is, we looked at the big areas, the three big areas that we deal with. The devil controls the fallen world system. The world system affects our flesh. So the flesh is sort of the key thing that's the issue. It is the pull within us to do wrong, the natural bent to sin. We come into the world, we have to teach people to do right. We do not have to teach people to do wrong. Any of you have had any children, any time, you know this, or you've been around children, you never have to teach people to do wrong. We automatically do wrong. We automatically are that way. We actually went to Ephesians. If you want to, you can, and I didn't tell you where to turn, but go ahead and turn to Romans chapter 7. And as you're turning to Romans chapter 7, in Ephesians 2, and we looked at this last week, it showed us these three things, the world, the flesh, and the devil. It says we walked according to the course of this world, we walked according to the prince of the power of the air, and we walked according to the lust of the flesh. There's the big three, and that's what we dealt with. But the emphasis is the flesh. That's what we wanted to talk about. So here's what we're going to do. I'm entitled this little section. I think this should be the new section that you got, and it should say go to the next slide. The new creation, because this is where we got stopped last time. Because we talked about, here's an unbeliever, here's a believer, here's the difference, and we brought some things up. So let's start and let's look first at the unbeliever. And the unbeliever has a body, a soul, a conscience, and a flesh. Now think about it. The body holds everything together. That's this. And it all fits together and stays together. There's the soul, which is the part that relates to the world. That's the mind, the emotion, and the will. There is a conscience, which actually tells people right from wrong. In Romans chapter 2 says that the law was written in on our hearts, our conscience bearing witness. So the bottom line is that people know right from wrong. It's inside of us, but you can see your conscience. You can do wrong enough that it doesn't bother you anymore. So when we say conscience, there is a part of us that actually knows rights and wrongs, but it doesn't. But if you're not careful, you can ignore it. And then the fourth thing was the flesh, and that is the natural bent to sin. We come into this world dead in trespasses and sins. We have a natural bent to sin. We're spiritually dead. And so as an unbeliever, we do not have the capacity as an unbeliever to know and understand God. That's why the Holy Spirit convicts the world. In John 16, the Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Sin that they have not believed, righteousness that he goes to be with the Father, and judgment the prince of the age has been judged. Holy Spirit convicts people that they have not believed in Jesus Christ. You have to be righteous to be with the Father, and there's a judgment coming. That's what he convicts the world of. And human beings are convicted, and the Holy Spirit deals with us, and we are drawn to the Father in that sense. But a person doesn't have to believe that when the whole world is convicted by the Holy Spirit, but not everybody believes. So here's the unbeliever, has the body, the soul, the conscience, the flesh. Now here's what happens. We believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, go to the believer, and here's what happens. We still have the body, we still have the soul, which is the mind, the emotion, and the will. We still have the conscience, which is the right from wrong, understanding that. We still have the flesh. And that does not go away. The natural bent to sin is right there. The pull is right there. It's going to be there as long as you are in this body. As long as you're in this body. Because one of these days when Jesus Christ, if he were to come in the clouds right now, the dead Christ rise first, we who are alive remain to be caught up together, will be changed in a moment of twinkling eye. This body won't be the same body anymore. So as long as you're in this body, you have the body, the soul, the conscience, and the flesh. But here's what happens. The moment you believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, you are born again, John 3. And that birth is a spiritual birth. You become a new creation in Christ. You were dead spiritually, now you're alive spiritually. When God told Adam and Eve, "In the day that you eat that fruit, die, and you shall surely die," they did not die physically that moment. They died spiritually that moment. That's why people come into the world and we're spiritually dead. When we believe in Jesus Christ and are born again, we are born again to be spiritually alive. I've just entitled that the human spirit. The Bible doesn't really call it human spirit. It talks about being spiritually alive. I call it that to make sure we understand it's different than the Holy Spirit, who is God within us. So the moment you believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, you are born again. You become a new creation. You're a new creation. And then, by the grace of God, in this what we call this dispensation in the church age, everyone who believes in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit also comes to live inside of us. So that's what we're like. Now, there's a battle going on because there's the flesh, which is the natural bent to sin. There is the Holy Spirit, which is God wanting, in a sense, do good. There is the human spirit, which is in us, which is now the capacity to know and understand God. I said, as an unbeliever, you could not know and understand God. 1 Corinthians 2:14, the natural man, the word there is soul. The soulish man does not understand the things of God. They are taught by the Spirit. And I think that spirit there is the human spirit. And so bottom line is, as a believer, you now have the capacity to know and understand God. You're a new creation in Christ, and that's who you are. Now, here's the statement I made last week that people said, really, how does that fit? This new creation in Christ, this new part of you, cannot sin. Does not sin, cannot sin. Point that I'm trying to make, that as a believer, we still sin. And you can say, but I thought I trusted in Christ. I trusted in Christ. I'm a new creation in Christ. I'm a new person. I was dead. Now I'm alive. I'm spiritually alive. How come I'm still sinning? Because you still have the flesh. The new part of you, which is born again, the new creation in Christ, as Paul calls himself, the new me, so to speak, that does not sin, but you still have the flesh. And so that's this battle. And I brought this up last week and told the idea that this new part of us cannot sin. And people say, I never really heard that. So I wanted to show you two things. One is we're going to go to Romans and show how Paul deals with it, how Paul looks at himself. Because we need to look at ourselves this way. There's two ways to look at ourselves. One is we can look at we can look at ourselves and say, I'm the flesh. You know, I'm fallen. I'm a sinful person. I'm not changing that way. And you didn't. You still have that natural bent to sin. In fact, it seems like the longer we live, the worse it becomes, as you know. And so you could look at yourself and say, I'm just an old fleshly sinner saved by grace. That's who I am. That's really not who you are. You're a new creation in Christ. You're the new creation. You've been born again. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. We need to be looking at ourselves as Paul looks at himself in Romans 7, and we'll see it. We need to be saying, I'm a new creation in Christ. And when I sin, guess what? It's not me sinning. When I sin, it's not me sinning. Because who's the me? Who is the me now? I'm the new creation in Christ, and I cannot sin. But when I sin, who sins? Flesh. Now you think, JB, you have just become schizophrenic. You're saying it's not really me sinning, right? I'm only saying what Paul says. We're going to look at Romans 7. We talked about it last week. Paul says exactly the same thing. Paul says, when I sin, it is no longer I who sins. We go, Paul, what do you mean by that? He says, because it's sin within me. It's not the new creation. So let's look at Romans chapter 7. I think the next slide, what we want to remember in Romans chapter 7, the old self is called sin. It's called flesh. That's the old self. The new self is the new creation in Christ, the part that's born again. That's the new us. Look at Romans chapter 7 and look at verse 15. Look at Paul, and he says this. This is about life, and we can all identify with Romans chapter 7. Here's what he says. For what I'm doing, I do not understand. For I'm not practicing what I would like to do, but I'm doing the very thing I hate. He says, what I'm doing, I just don't grasp it. I'm not really doing what I really want to do. I'm doing the very thing I hate. Now, he's saying that here I am, new creation in Christ, and what I really should be doing is what? Living for God, doing right. He said, but what am I doing? I'm sinful. I'm doing sin. He said, I don't really grasp this because I'm what? I'm the new creation in Christ. So watch what he says. Look at the next verse. Go down to verse 17. Watch what he says. So you say, Paul must be schizophrenic. No, he's not. Watch. So now, no longer am I the one doing it. Paul says, I'm not the one sinning. It's not me. Look at verse 17. It's no longer I the one who sins, but it's sin within me. It's not me sinning, but it's my flesh. Paul says, no longer am I the one doing it. What does he mean by that? No longer is it what? The new creation in Christ does not the one sinning. He says, that's not me sinning, but it's who? Sin within me, which is the flesh. Okay, so do you see he's saying, if you look at me, Paul says, if you look at me, I'm a new creation in Christ, and when I sin, that's not me sinning. That's my flesh sinning. Because see, I look at me, Paul says, as a new creation in Christ. How do we look at ourselves? We need to look at ourselves and say, I'm a new creation in Christ. And when I sin, it is no longer me sinning, but it is the flesh doing the sin. That's what Paul says. Okay? That's how he looks at his life. Look what he goes on to say. Let's see. It's not about me sinning, but it's my flesh. Okay? Notice verse 18. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my what? Flesh. He says, I want you to understand that there's no good thing in me. And he's talking about the flesh. And then in verse 19. For the good that I want, I do not. But I practice the very evil I do not want. Now, I want to show you something in verse 19. He says, the good that I want, I do not do. I don't do it. Now, I'm going to show you something. You just got to grasp this, okay? The word for to do in Greek is a word poieo. That's P-O-I-E-O, poieo. And it means to do something. It means like, I think I'm going to do this. Paul says, the good that I want, I do not do. I don't do this. But I practice. Notice the word I practice. If you've got a New American Standard, just kind of trust me on this, okay? But I practice the very evil I do not want to do. Now, the word practice is a different Greek word. It's a word prasso, P-R-A-S-S-O, and it means to keep doing. He says, the good I want to do, that I should do, I don't do, but I what? I keep doing the things I don't want to do. Okay? I want you to see those two words. They're going to make a difference in a minute when we go to another place in the Scripture. You have to know the Greek words. Okay? So, what does Paul say so far? He says, you know, I don't understand what I'm doing. I'm doing the things I don't want to do. And in fact, the things I hate, I'm doing. He says, but it's not really me doing it. It's not. It's just sin in me doing it. Because see, I know that what's in me, my flesh, there's really no good thing there. And so the things that I really want to do, I don't do. But I continually practice the things I don't want to do. Look what he says in verse 20. But if I am doing the very thing I do not want, I am no longer the one doing it. What? What is he saying? If I'm sinning, it's not me sinning, right? Who's sinning? Flesh. Now, every one of you in this room, if you've trusted in Christ as Savior, guess what? You're born again. You have a body, a soul, a conscience, a flesh, human spirit, spiritually alive, and the Holy Spirit inside of you. Now, and every time you sin, you could be like Paul, and you could say this. Whenever I sin, it's not me. Truth? Is it you? No, it's not. Not you. Not the new creation in Christ. Who is it then? It's your flesh. Do you identify yourself as a flesh or a new creation? As a new creation. That's what Paul said to do. Paul says you don't go through life looking at your life and saying, I'm a flesh. He says you go through life and saying, I'm a new creation. Yes. Forgiveness. Why do we need forgiveness? In the Christian life, you need forgiveness because sin breaks your fellowship with God. This is saying nothing about breaking relationship. This is all he's saying is when I sin, it's not really me, it's my flesh. Now, when your flesh sins, do you sin? Well, but you don't. Yeah, it's true. But you don't separate yourself out that way. When you sin, since you are flesh, you're a person, and you have a natural bent to sin, and you sin, you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive you. Because all forgiveness is in the Christian life is just getting back into fellowship with God. But what Paul's point is that he's trying to say is, when I sin, I need to see myself as that the part of me that's born again, the new creation, that's not really me sinning. That's my old self that's sinning. My flesh, okay? Now watch the principle, okay? Yeah, okay, yes.
How do you spell
P-O-I-E-O. If you want to flow back a few slides, prasso, go back one more. Go this other way. P-O-I-E-O, poieo is how you say it. The next word, if you go to the next slide, is prasso, P-R-A-S-S-O. There are two different Greek words. One Greek word simply means I do something. The other Greek word means I keep on doing something, or is oftentimes translated, I practice this. Okay? Now, go to slide 20, we just had 20 up, didn't we? It's not me, it's not me, the new creation, but it's the flesh within me. So look at verse 21. Here's the principle. I find in the principle that evil is present in me, the one who wants to do good. Who is the one that wants to do good? New creation. Who's the evil that's in us? Flesh. So the truth is this. You're a new creation in Christ. You have a desire to live for God. Let me ask you a question. How many of you have a desire to live for God? Where did that come from? Didn't come from your flesh, did it? Came from the what? The new creation. Yeah. The conscience just tells you right from wrong. And it is not either, it's not going to make you do right or make you do wrong. All the conscience is as Romans 2:14 says, it is the law written on your heart. It is the principles of right and wrong. And as a person, you sit there and you can say, that's right and that's wrong. As the new creation says, I only want to do right. In fact, I can only do right. The flesh says, I only want to do wrong. In fact, I can only do wrong. Right? Now, when I say only do wrong, that means even unbelievers, if they do something good, there's no value to that because it comes from the flesh. And in my flesh dwells what? No good thing. So that's what he's saying. Yes, Jerry, and then we'll come back. I don't want to get hung up on this because the other stuff's more important. Okay, here we go. Yeah.
Okay. So what difference does it make?
What?
Sin is still committed.
Right.
The outside world doesn't see any difference.
Right, I'm not even talking about that. That's not even our issue. Yeah, so you're saying is, if I look at myself as the new creation, rather than looking at myself at the flesh, what difference does it make? It makes a big difference because you're going to go through life saying, I'm just a sinful old person. And once you need to go through life and saying, I'm a new creation in Christ, I've been bought with a price, I'm a new creation, I'm going to live for Jesus Christ. There's a part of you that, it's actually the way you view your life. That's what Paul's dealing with in Romans 7. Of course you do. We're not even talking about that. That's not. Maybe y'all are missing something. I'm not talking about whether we should sin or not sin. I'm just telling you this is how Paul looks at it, and this is the truth. You are responsible for sin. Why? Because you choose to obey the what? Flesh. You can choose to obey the power of the Holy Spirit and live as a spiritual person, as a new creation in Christ. You do not sin. You can choose to live by your flesh, and you sin. My issue here is not those issues. My issue is to show you that Paul is saying there's a part of me, I consider myself a part, that when I sin, that's not me sinning. I want you to see that because that takes us over to 1 John in a minute where we had the real issues last week. I just want you to get it. So has everybody got it? I mean, I'm not trying to say that we're not responsible for sin or that we don't not try not to sin. I'm just saying that in Romans 7, he's showing us that we need to look at life as a new creation in Christ. What do you do when you sin and you happen to live by the flesh? Confess your sin. He's faithful and just to forgive you. So you're responsible. Yeah, good point. You are responsible. Responsible. Okay, what else? Yeah, Ken. Romans 6, Right. Yeah. And so Ken's bringing up Romans chapter 6, which is an incredible chapter because at the start of the chapter, he says, since I have eternal life and I'm going to heaven and nothing can change that, should I continue in sin that grace may abound? Meaning that every time I sin, God's grace covers it. It does it not? So he says, why don't I just keep on sinning? Paul says, may it never be. How can we who died to sin still live any longer? Do you not know that those who were baptized, identified in Christ Jesus, were identified in his death, and we died and rose again with Christ to a new life? That's what he's talking about in Romans 6. So he brings that point out. So the truth is, we're not supposed to sin. We're not supposed to live by the flesh. We're supposed to see that we're new creations in Christ and live by the power of the Holy Spirit who's in us. The point I'm trying to get here is that there is a part of you that you must understand that is born again, that Paul calls the new creation, and he says that when he sins, this part is not sinning. The new person doesn't sin. In fact, the new person cannot sin. The old person, the flesh, is what sins. Okay, does that make sense? We got it so far? Now, let's go to the hard part. I think this is what's, as if this is the easy part, okay? So, summary. When Paul sins, he says, I'm not the one sinning. The new man, the one born again, doesn't sin. It's the old man, the flesh, that sins. Now, go to 1 John chapter 3. And I brought this up last week so you can grab, see how this fits. Because some people will bring you this verse from 1 John chapter 3, especially verse 9. And they will say, how can this possibly be? And I want you to be able to answer it. Okay? And I want you to know that almost every one of the translations, the New American Standard and the NIV and the, what is that one, the EV, what is that newest one? What is it, NSV? ESV. They all miss it. They mistranslated every one of them. Anybody got that ESV thing? Anybody got one? Anybody got an NIV? Who's got an NIV? You got an NIV? Hold on. Oh, okay. Who's got New American Standard? Somebody got that? Anybody got a New King James or a King James? You got a New King James? Hold on to that thing right there, Freddie. Okay, yeah, okay. I'm going to read to you from the New American Standard. 1 John 3, verse 9. No one who is born of God practices sin, because his seed abides in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Anybody would read the NIV for me? Because see, the New American Standard says, no one who is born of God does what? Practices sin. Okay? Who's got the NIV? What does it say?
No one who is born of God will continue to sin.
Okay, that's good enough. No one who is born of God will continue to sin. Who's got what's that other one? Do we have somebody who's got that? Okay. Freddie, give me King James, New King James. Thank you. Okay. Now, whoever is born of God does not sin. The only one that translated this directly from the Greek language is the New King James. Everybody else put the word practice or continue to sin. Now, let's read it like it really says. It says, whoever is born of God does not sin. Because his seed abides in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. Now, based off what you know on Romans 7, what does it mean, whoever is born of God does not sin? What does that mean? It means what? The new creation doesn't sin. It goes on to say he's been born of God, therefore he is what? He is born of God. He cannot sin. Now, let me show you something. I'm just going to do the New American Standard for a second, and I want you to see something. It says, one who is born of God, no one who is born of God practices sin. Now, let's stop for a minute. By what you know, do I have the two Greek words up here next? Is that next slide? Yeah. Remember, one word poieo means to do, and proso means to practice. Is that correct? So we would assume that the person who translated 1 John 3, verse 9, using the New American Standard or the NIV, which word do we think would be the Greek word used there? Proso. Guess what it is? It's poieo. Turn to the next slide. 1 John, no one is going to God, practices sin. Go to the next slide. You'd think proso, right? Next slide. The word is poieo. All born of God does not do sin. That's what it literally says. It does not say practice. Let me ask you a question. Why do you think the NIV and the New American Standard put practice sin in there? Because they knew what? That's right. And so what they're afraid of, here's what they're afraid of. They don't understand, whoever's translating this has missed the point that we're talking about the new creation, because he says that which is born of God does not sin. And so they were afraid that if they translated it literally, that people would say, oh no, I've been born of God, but I still sin, so maybe I'm not what? Born of God. So then they added the word practice, and they want people to say this, if I'm a real Christian, I won't what? Keep on sinning. Let me ask you a question. If you're a real Christian, will you keep on sinning, or can you? Of course you can. So they messed the whole thing up. The New King James and the Old King James are the only ones that actually translated it literally. Read it again, Freddie. Loud.
Okay. Whoever has been born of God does not sin.
Okay. Who's he talking about? Who's John talking about? New creation. He said, if you've been born of God, you do not sin. In fact, the next slide, look at this next one. The Greek there for cannot sin is not able to sin. It means you don't even have the capacity. So the new creation in Christ does not have the capacity to sin. So if a person comes to you, first of all, they're going to come to you and say, a real Christian won't practice sin. And what you need to say to them is, the word practice isn't even in there. It says that a real Christian doesn't sin. And it's not talking about you as a whole person. He's talking about you as the new creation in Christ, because he said that which is born of God. That's the new creation. That's being born again. So I want you to understand that. That's how we, I don't know how we got off into all this last week, but that's what we got into. And so bottom line, the new part of you which is born again, the new creation, cannot sin. You sin from the flesh. The verse is not saying a believer will not keep on sinning. In fact, a believer is capable of keeping on sinning all they want to. Anybody want to volunteer for that? Anybody says yes? Yeah. Okay, Bob. In italics?
Mine is not italicized, so what they did was they just erroneously translated that.
Poieo. They took poieo and made it the same as proso. I don't think it's good. No. In fact, let me just say this. Y'all know this. All the translations are excellent, and all the translations have issues. They all do. Because you have to understand that there were a group of people that sat down, took the Greek, and said, this is how we're going to translate it into English. That's what they did. And so this group who did this said, we can't say anyone born of sin, born of God, does not sin, because that doesn't make sense, because people sin. They weren't thinking about the new creation in Christ. They just weren't thinking that way. So we better put the word practice in there. I mean, the word poieo is there, and we know poieo doesn't mean practice, but we can put practice in there because the Greek words, that they might be interchangeable. Who knows? All right? Yes. That's God touching them, making them a new creation. You're right. Okay? And because they've been born again. That's real good. That's real good. Yeah. The word practice isn't in there. It actually says the one who is born of God does not sin. That's what it says. So I just want you to see that. I don't know how we got into that, except the fact we started talking about being the new creation in Christ, and I made the statement that the new creation in Christ can't sin, and that's when y'all gave me those looks like, what are you talking about? And I said, well, that's what Paul says. We have to do what Paul says, and that's what John says. And really, the way you understand 1 John is you have to see what Paul said in Romans chapter 7. That's how they fit. Randy. Right. 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 And that's what she said. Yeah. Exactly.
It says you cannot sin. It does. You cannot continue to practice.
Exactly. In fact, as I brought out that word, go back in that other slide. That Greek word that you said, means not able. You're not even able to sin. So understand that as a new creation in Christ, you are not even able to sin. That's why when God changes this body, what's going to leave us? What's going to be taken away? The flesh. You going to be able to sin after that? No. That's why as a glorified body, you won't sin. Does that make sense? Oh, my gosh. Oh, my God. Has the second bell rung yet? Oh, it has?
No.
It did? It didn't ring over there. Let me try it. See what you got, Freddie. Okay, we'll talk about this next week, okay? Yeah.
God tells us that he's working out.
Philippians. Yeah, Philippians. No, he says for us to work out your own salvation.
Work out what he has worked in.
Right.
So we can progressively become to a point where that we may not sin if we control the flesh.
If we walk in the Spirit. If you lived your life totally in the power of the Holy Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You wouldn't sin. I don't think anybody's ever got there yet. Okay.
That's
growing in the grace and knowledge of Christ. You're exactly right.
His friend of mine has. He says he doesn't.
Yeah, she's got a friend that she meets that says that he hadn't sinned in how many years now?
He has not sinned.
Ever?
Ever.
Ever. Oh. He and Jesus must be twins.
Since the day he accepted Christ Jesus, he has not sinned.
Not sinned. Wow. I'd like to be around him for 15 minutes and see what we can find.
He's 84 years old.
85. How many of y'all think we can find something he's doing wrong? What do you think? Yeah, yeah. Are we supposed to quit? Is it time? Is it short, Hazel? Okay. If it's not short, we'll stop. Okay.
You said, why are we doing this?
Doing what?
Okay. Because there are some that needed it.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you for that. Okay. What other questions you have, we'll talk about this a little bit next week, and then we'll get back to temptation. Okay. We're tempted to stay here too long. Possibly. Okay. All right. Heavenly Father, what a great morning. Thanks for the study. Thanks for helping us put it together, Lord. Most of all, thank you for our Savior Jesus. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.